When we pledge allegiance, man, we are pledging everything that we are. Every breath that we are. Everything that we have. When we pledge allegiance, man, say, okay, it's all yours, Lord. Amen?
Amen.
Okay? And so when we pledge allegiance, it is not to be taken lightly.
Right.
Amen? Oh, no, it's like, it's kind of like signing a dotted line on a marriage license. You know what I'm saying? Don't take it lightly. Or sign up for a car payment for the next 6 years. You know, look what you're getting into. Okay, think about it. But when you sign it, man, you're going to do it. And it means doing it even when nobody else is around. It's easier to be Christian on Sundays, right? I'm not tempted by anything right now. So maybe that ham I got cooking back here. But it's when we get out of here. It's when we get back into our homes or back where we work at, or we get that free time where, when no one's watching us. That's where it's hard to be a Christian, because we have that free will, that free choice. But we remember, God, I pledge my life to you. I'm following you. I'm not going back for nothing, okay? But in them times where it's kind of weak, when we start spreading ourselves, call brother and sister. I need help today. The devil's trying to come back and take me back where I come from. I need to pray with him, man. Tell me the reason why I don't want to go back where I come from. You know what I'm saying? And do that. But when we commit our lives to Jesus Christ, what an awesome thing it is. But man, no longer is it just our life that depends on it. He uses us to reach out to other people. Amen? I don't mean to embarrass anybody here, especially someone who first time has been here. But we have this morning Sergeant Bill Wilson. Bill, can you stand there for a second? Are you able to stand up this morning? I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm going to tell a story about you. You don't need to stand up. You're okay. Sergeant Bill Wilson. He served the Coshocton County Sheriff's Office for many years. In fact, I came in when he was just about slowing down a little bit to about maybe 40 hours a week, okay? And I said to this, Bill took an oath. He took an oath with Sheriff Hoop and the community to protect and serve us no matter what. And he did it back in the old days, okay? And back in the days where we didn't have radios, you know what I'm saying? Back in the days where we didn't have bulletproof vests. Back in the days when nobody else was out there, just Bill was out there. Man, if he wanted something, he'd go find a phone somewhere and call in. And I say this, and I'm not here to embarrass you. I just want to use you for example for a second. I remember the way the story goes. If I don't have it correctly, don't tell me any different, okay? But I remember one night on patrol, Bill's coming down, I don't know, 6:43 somewhere, and he knew that somebody was on vacation, that they weren't home. And when he went past, and the cruiser, he looked over, and the garage door is open, and there's a truck backed up to it, and somebody was moving stuff around in there. Well, Bill knew that they weren't supposed to be there. Now, he had two choices, saying, oh, somebody's spring cleaning and keep on going. Or remember the oath that he took to the citizens of Coshocton County, I will protect and serve. And so Bill goes down, parks his car, and again, this way is handed down to me through generations and generations, goes up to the cow patties, come back around with his flashlight and a shotgun, and the two guys are coming out. He said, stop. He took both of them in custody, took them in his cruiser, and brought them down here. Took an oath. He knew what the law was. He knew that they were in violation of the law. He knew that he had the power to enforce that law. And he did that all by himself. He did that. Again, I'm not here to puff you up, Bill. You know, I'm just saying that you took an oath. And look what, and you had the power when you took it. And you did it. And they were so awesome. I'm so awesome to come after you, man. That legend went on for, I won't tell all the stories I know about you, but see, and so I say that to introduce today into the scripture that we are the same way. Okay? We took an oath when we gave our life to the Lord, okay? And what we need to do, we need to, number one, the power that He gives us, and we need to know the word that He's given us. That law that He's given us. And I want to take you to a scripture this morning. We're going to 2 or 3 of them. I'm not sure where we're going this morning. We're going where God leads us. But I'd like for you to turn into John. John chapter 6. John chapter 6, I'm going to be around somewhere around 50 probably, right around there. You pick your verse, I'll pick mine, okay? But we're going to catch up with Jesus. John's got this now. Remember, John is the one at the end that carried him in. He preached from sitting down all the time, you know. But he's got this document of what Christ did. And Jesus is talking to his disciples. He is talking to those who decided to follow him, okay? Wasn't anybody there forced to. You know, they volunteered to follow him. Like Brother Bill, no one forced you to be a deputy, did they? No. No, he took on that himself. So once he took on that responsibility, he wanted to know everything that he could know about law enforcement, about the law, what the power he had, and how to keep that power. And he had that power because Bill Hoopman trusted you with that. As a deputy, you represent the sheriff wherever you go. As a believer, hear me, church? You represent Jesus wherever you go. So he's trying to strengthen his disciples. And he says, I'll catch up. Verse 48, let's start. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and they died. Say, okay, the manna was food that God gave them when they got freed from Egypt. Okay. This is the bread which come down out of heaven so that one may eat of it and not die. Ooh, he said, okay, they died eating the manna, but I'm the bread that you never die. I am the living bread that came down out of heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread also which I shall give for the life of the world is my flesh. Okay? The Jews therefore became to argue with one another, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? They just ain't getting it, are they? Okay? And Jesus therefore said to them, truly, truly I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in yourselves. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up on the last day. For my flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who eats me, he also shall live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven, not as the fathers ate and died. He who eats this bread shall live forever. Now these things Christ spoke to him in the synagogue, as he taught in Capernaum. And many, therefore, of the disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, said to them, does this cause you to stumble? And even back then, they had people in church complaining about what the Word of God says. You know that? Man, come on. We're really going to listen to this, you know? Let's go somewhere else. You know, I don't want to hear this. The Word of God is the Word of God, right? And if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, that Word of God applies to your life. And even if you're not a follower, it still applies to you. You don't recognize that. And so they don't want to hear this thing. You know, they think it's kind of gross. But he says in verse 62, he says, what then if you should behold the Son of Man ascending where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, and who it was that would betray him. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him from the Father. And as a result of this, many of the disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Wow, now they're hanging out with him, party time. And the good feeling was going on, you know what I'm saying? It drew a crowd. We're going to follow Jesus. But the minute things got serious, okay, you have to consume me now. What is he saying? Okay, he's not saying to eat my finger or my ears. He's saying, I am the Word of God. You have to consume me completely, what he's trying to tell them. But wait. No, this is too gross. He's trying to say, it's all me or nothing. And right away, when things got kind of nasty, those who was there just for the party, just for the hip-hop, or whatever it might be, maybe just for the songs, started falling away. What? Consume all that? No. I mean, I like God and I believe in Jesus, but man, I'm going to do some of the stuff he says. Listen, it's either all or none. Don't be deceived. It's either all or none. But we can't pick and choose what we're going to follow of Jesus. If we do, we're just deceiving ourselves. We are just deceiving ourselves. Oh, you know, let's go back to the law enforcement days. I mean, can you imagine? Me and Brother Bill teamed up together, and on Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday, man, we went out there, we busted crime, did all kind of thing. But on Wednesday, we worked for the mob. Now, how long would that last? Well, at least back then, it wouldn't last very long. Today, I don't know. It wouldn't. Either all or none. And he said to the disciples, you got to consume me completely if you want to be my follower. Someone didn't want it. They didn't want to be connected with him anymore. They turned away. Kind of get back to what we were saying last week. Once saved, always saved isn't true. Unless you want to cut it, if you want to really cut it narrow, saying, if you're truly a follower of Christ, you'll never fall away. Okay? I believe these folks are looking at, again, a lot of hype going on, no doubt. A lot of people following Christ, they're having a great time. And can you imagine? Hanging out with Jesus had to be awesome. You know that? It had to be awesome hanging out with man. And they're following around, so we're going to get serious now. Because he knew it was coming. Man, you're going to be my follower? You got to consume me completely. Because do you know why? Because you're not going to make it without me. You're going to fall away. And he didn't get those words out, and people started falling away. Turning away from him. Because he was getting down to nitty gritty. And the same thing with us today. Every one of us in here today. Jesus says, you're going to follow me. You have to consume me 100%. It has to be a diet that you eat 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You say, well, I need to read the Bible 24. You need to be with him 24/7. Everything that you think, everything that you do has to be around Jesus Christ and his resurrection. Understand that. There's no compromise. There's no giving in. Okay? And I know you say, well, that's tough. I know it can be tough, but the Holy Spirit lives within us to give us the strength to do what he says to do, to turn away from them dark things. He goes back, how bad do you want it? You know, how awesome is he? Consume me, he says, all of me. You know, that's pretty difficult. Well, he never said it'd be easy. But he is the bread of life. We consume him. We consume the things of the world. If the world is where we eat our spiritual food at, the world is headed to hell. And that's where we go. God doesn't want that. Now, I keep going back to this the last several weeks. When you ask Christ into your life, when you invite him in, the Spirit of God comes in that you have been born again, born of the Spirit. But something you need to do is renewing of your mind. Otherwise, you've just got a renewed spirit headed to the same place. It's renewing. It's like, I don't know, you get a new car, but you put the same GPS system in it. And you push the same button. I don't care how new it looks, you're still headed to the same place. You have to reprogram that, okay? And then we got to realize that once you get a car that runs again, we can reprogram it to keep it going down the same path again. I believe the same way with that. When we invite Christ into your life, he comes into our life, then we have to start renewing. Otherwise, we're going to fall away. We're going to fall away. And some folks come to the Master just because of the excitement sometimes. Man, this is awesome to do, man. It's just, and they don't. They fall in love with the idea of being a Christian. Let me say it that way. Because it's awesome to be around Christians. Even in the toughest times, we still got a smile on our face. We got a joy in our heart because we know this stuff is just temporary. It's just temporary. You know, my name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. But sometimes, guys, before you got married, or if you were married or wasn't married. But we have actually, before I got married, I actually went to weddings. Oh man, this ain't too bad. Look at that. Look at the smile on their face. Look how, oh wow, that's awesome. Yeah. Man, it makes you want to get married, you know? Oh, I had no idea what I'm getting into. But just seeing the excitement on the bride and the groom, it makes you start thinking about it. And so it starts drawing you near. And finally the day, I said, hey, will you marry me? She says, yes. I know now what I'm getting into. I want to. Full commitment. Okay? And it's the same with our lives as we live our lives for the Master. Anyone who's been married for a while will tell you. There's high points and low points. Amen? There's good and bad. It's just life itself. Okay? And as people come to us and say, hey man, I'm thinking about getting married. What do you think? No, I'm serious. To be honest, man, I wouldn't change married life for anything. Would I change some things I had to go through myself? Yes. Would I go back and do things different and make different decisions from time to time? I never changed my mind about marrying my wife. I personally would have done things differently to give my wife a little better life. And she would probably say the same thing. That's honesty. Okay? It's the same way when we come to follow Jesus. Man, he takes our sins away. My name is written in the book of life. I'm telling you, it's going to be tough. There's tough moments. There's times when people don't reject you. Your relatives are going to walk away from you. Okay? But I'm telling you, it's all worth it. It's all, because this ain't my home yet. You know what I'm saying? So just being honest with one another. Amen, Kenny? Amen. Just being honest. And that's what he's saying here, man. He says, as a result of this, many of the disciples withdrew and were walking with, wasn't walking with anymore. In verse 67, he says, Jesus said therefore to the 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? And Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have words of eternal life. And we have believed and we have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. And with us the same way, we have come to know that He is the Holy One of God, that He is who He says He is. None, no other, none no greater than Jesus Christ. And so for us, it's consume His Word. Consume Him, every part of it. And to allow it to make a difference in our life. As we hear that Word, it builds our faith up. Now I know sometimes life doesn't turn out the way we want it at times. But may it not take away from the faith that we have in God. Turn to Mark, if you would. Mark, anywhere you want to go there, it's fine. It's all good. I think I'm going to be in the 14th verse. Oh, I'll get you close. Chapter 9, verse 14. I know, I'm sorry. My mind's always four or five steps ahead of me. Right, Carol White? At least I still got a mind. But Mark has it documented here in verse 14 of chapter 9. It says, now when they came back to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and some scribes arguing with them. And immediately, when the entire crowd saw him, they were amazed and began running up to greet Jesus. And he asked them, what are you discussing with them? What's going on? What's the argument about? And one of the crowd answered, said, Teacher, I brought you my son, possessed with a spirit which makes him mute. And whenever it seizes him, it dashes him to the ground, and he foams at the mouth, and grinds his teeth, and stiffens out. And I told your disciples to cast it out, and they could not do it. Okay. So right away, there we go. A situation came to the followers of Jesus. They wanted them to cast out this demon. And they tried. But they couldn't do it. But they tried, amen? Okay. But then the Master says, unbelieving generation. How long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him to me. And And they brought the boy to him, and when he saw him, immediately the spirit threw him into a convulsion, and falling to the ground, he began rolling about and foaming at the mouth. And he asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? And he said, ever since childhood. And has often thrown him both into the fire and to the water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, take pity on us and help us. If you can do anything, just take pity and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, all things are possible to him who believes. Wow. Okay, if we can, he said, if I can. If you believe, all things are possible. He's telling him, wow. And immediately the boy's father cried out and began saying, I do believe. Help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that a crowd was rapidly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you deaf and dumb spirit, I command you, come out of him and do not enter him again. And after crying out and throwing him into the terrible convulsions, it came out and the boy began to so much like a corpse that most of them said that he is dead. Oh man, that preaches too. But Jesus took him by the hand and raised him, and he got up. And when he had come into the house, the disciples began questioning him privately. Why can we not cast it out? And he said to them, this kind cannot come out except by prayer and fasting. Okay? Prayer and fasting. Matthew documents fasting also. When the Bible talks about prayer, it goes right along with fasting. There's no separation. You know, that part of prayer is fasting. You know, fasting is should be the center of a Christian's life, okay? Fasting is something that we do daily, that we do weekly, we do monthly. It's part of our life. That's where strength and power comes from, because it kills the flesh where we can hear from the Spirit. Amen? Amen. But man, I look at this here, I think, man, how long has it been going on? Ever since childhood, okay? So that means that Daddy didn't give up. My kid's always been this way. But he's saying that they don't always have to be this way, because there's one greater than what's inside of him. And that's the Spirit of living God, Jesus Christ. So the parent did not give up. And he takes him to the disciples, which is awesome. Follow Jesus. They must have saw Jesus in them. Must have thought, man, they can do something for me. And the disciples didn't run away. They didn't. Okay, we'll do this. And they lay hands on this. And he couldn't do anything. Nothing happened. So what'd they do? They took him to Jesus. Listen, where did the power come from? Jesus. I think what happens at times, as a body, we pray, and nothing happens. We pray and nothing happens. And what we want to do, maybe, I'm talking about the church, okay? We avoid that subject. We avoid that person the next time. Why? Because we're embarrassed that it didn't work. You invite somebody to church. Ah, they come to church. They hear the Word of God. But they're different than the rest of us. Who's normal? So we don't invite him back. Look, I can't. Steve, I don't know why you brought Kenny here. He don't act like us. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, come on, man. I mean, come on. You can't do that no more.
I ain't normal.
You ain't normal. But the thing of it is Christ in us. And just maybe at times, we still have too much of us in us. Now, I don't mean in a bad way. I mean, it's in a bad way, but you don't do it in a bad way. Okay? You just think to yourself, you think that we have more involvement in prayer than what we really do. It's faith in Jesus Christ is what it is. And then we were talking coming in here, I thought, you know what? I said, well, even the disciples were arguing back and forth who's going to sit beside Jesus on the throne. She said, no, it wasn't really the disciples. It was a mama. Mama was fighting who's going to sit beside Jesus, okay? So what we have is always some type of warfare up here, competition going on, you know. Someone called for prayer, okay. See, Bob is right outside Zanesville. I'll send Bob down to Genesis and pray. Wait, I better not do that. If I call Bob at home, he goes down there and prays for Tim in the hospital, Bob's going to get all the credit. But do you hear me? Do you hear me? That can't take place. You know? It has nothing to do with Bob or me. It's faith in Jesus. He's one of the best. We are just about, we are the contact point. You know what I'm saying? We are the contact point right there for the Spirit of God to touch. But what happens is, okay, but what they didn't give up. They didn't say, hey, we prayed for it, you know. Jesus is out of town for a while. You know, you had to hit the road and stuff like that. Hopefully they didn't forget but wouldn't come back again, okay? So, at this point, in this situation, they were insignificant enough to do what they wanted to do, cast out that demon. But they took them to Jesus. But, hey, sorry, but let's go to Jesus. They took them to Jesus and he said, man, he said a couple of things. Number one, if you can only believe. And the dad said, man, help me with my unbelief. Help me. I believe, but strengthen my unbelief. And how do we strengthen unbelief? By believing the Word of God. Amen? I mean, come on. I mean, the daddy didn't give up. Hey, come on, let me take you to Jesus. Nah, forget it, man. When you got a church? You're a church, aren't you? Yeah. And you pray for me? Well, nah, I'm done. I'm out of here. But it's okay. The daddy knew there's something better for a son. He wasn't giving up yet, okay? Let's get to Jesus, okay? And when he got to Jesus, he recognized, man, help me. I got belief, help me. I don't have that much belief. Come on, just believe. And he rebuked it. That little boy's life, that child's life, came back to him. Because, number one, the daddy wasn't going to give up. Number two, the followers of Jesus wasn't going to give up. They weren't quite there yet, but they knew that somebody who was. And Christ, that's what he's there for. And we're the same way. Man, I don't care how many times you prayed for somebody. I don't know how many times the situation you've been praying over, and you just don't get that release that you want. Don't give up. Just get more of Christ. Just get more of Jesus, his name, his blood, his word, about him. Not so, and sometimes it might be all night prayer. Sometimes it's digging in the middle of the night, you're praying for 3 and 4 hours, okay? Because there is a spiritual battle. Right now, as I'm presenting you the Word of God today, there's such a spiritual battle in my mind right now that you wouldn't believe. You know what? Satan wants to shut me up. He wants to close your mouth there, Pastor. I'm not listening to you anyway today. You know? It's the Word of God that makes a difference in your life, not me, okay? That battle goes on and on and on, and it's in your mind right now, too. It's trying to take you away from receiving. Hear me? Hear that? Yeah. Somebody right now, you think about the dinner. Oh, was that you? What are you having for dinner? No, just kidding. Ham, yes. But he does that. That's a battle we go through. Have you ever sit down to pray and you can't pray because so much stuff in your mind? Yes. That's where we fight at. That's where the battle is. It's in our mind. And do whatever you can to take that word away from us. And we see this right here, okay? How do I get strength? Put these two chapters together is consuming Jesus completely. Completely. Allow him to work in your life and through your life. And then help one another with unbelief. You say, God can't do this? Let me tell you what he did in my life. And I share that with you. He set me free. I'm going to pray with you, and then he'll set you free, or set you free, or bring healing to your body. Okay? But it's a thing that we have to apply. Many of us right now, if we was going to go to the hospital, to the doctor, to a specialist, if we had to wait in line 3 hours, we wouldn't like it, but we sit there, right? Because we know they're a specialist. That's their field. And it will help us. Friday nights, football season especially, McDonald's drive-thru. Sit there 20 minutes to get through the drive-thru to get a cheeseburger and french fry. You know? But I'll sit there. I'll sit there because I want that cheeseburger and french fry. When it comes to God, it seems at times when it comes to God, we want it right now. We're willing to give Ronald McDonald more time and believing that somebody will cook my hamburger just right than we are God. And it's prayer. And man, let's pray. And we start praying. And we keep praying. We keep praying. Keep speaking His word out. I mean, this is it. This is, if I put it this way, this is the flesh that Jesus is talking about is right here. His word. Because Jesus is the living word of God. So consume me, he says. Oh, and I know we get this picture in our mind when he says, eat my flesh and drink my blood. We get this barbaric thing in our mind. But he's saying, man, that is how serious it is that consume every part of me, is what he's saying. And he says, and this kind cannot come out any other way but prayer and fasting. So this is a demon he's trying to get out. Now, did the disciples know that they're going to come across this guy on that particular day, that particular hour? They had no idea, probably, right? What are you going to encounter tomorrow, Tim? You really don't know. You have ideas, but you don't really know. Lori, Kenny, what are you going to encounter tomorrow? Don't know. Now, for some of us, we're not sure, but we're going to come to town, so we have to bring a wallet with us, because we're going to have to buy gas, maybe. Okay? For some of us, you know, well, I'm going to see a doctor, so I've got to bring my medical card. But as a Christian, what type of spiritual warfare are we going to be involved with tomorrow, that if we get there, and we're not prepared, that we're going to lose the battle? And so it goes back to every day to be prayed up. To be, we call it prayer, continuing prayer and fasting. You know, I was, this past week, as I was fasting, I fasted from Monday to Thursday. And I know some people say, well, you ain't supposed to tell anybody. No, the Bible really didn't say that. So don't brag about it. But I just share this with you. I fasted, and it was a liquid fast, what I did. And this week, two people that we have been mentioning here through the assembly and to dinner and churches gave their life to Jesus Christ. They accepted Christ. Okay? So prayer and fasting is awesome. It wasn't me. Okay? But when I was praying and I had prayer partners, God softened that heart. Because his heart has rejected Jesus. I sat and talked with him. I touched the heart. God plowed up. They received the gospel today. And I went and spoke to him. He received Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord too. And one of them was right here in the ministry. Actually walked up to me. After you get done eating, they come in quite some time and say, what do you got to do to be saved? And so we talked. He said, I've been listening to you guys. So even though he's here eating dinner, his ears are still open listening to the gospel. And praise God. But through prayer and fasting. And if you have any questions about prayer and fasting, let us know. I mean, we've taught on that before, but it's, we think, well, how can prayer and fasting make a difference? Well, the Master said, number one, to do it. And I believe the center part of it is, it was food that took us down in the garden. So we can fast the food, it brings us back up closer to the Lord in a nutshell. And again, it goes back to fasting, medical conditions, you gotta watch out for that too. Some people, we gotta eat, that kind of stuff, but you can always find something to fast. You know, sometimes I need sugar at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I don't know if I fast, I need that sugar. Well, I'd normally grab a donut. My wife said, well, why don't you just get a glass of orange juice? Because inside of me, I really want that donut, but she's right. I still continue to fast to get that sugar in me, but. And number, the third one that I'm going to take us back to is in Romans 12:2 for today. And verse 1 says, and I urge you, therefore, brethren, that's us here in the assembly, by the mercy of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So again, do not be conformed by the ways of this world, but by the continuing renewing of your mind. And that's continuing in the Word of God, renewing it. Because born again, but our minds are still thinking about the old days. And we have to renew it by the Word of God. We got to change our ways of thinking. We get rid of that stinking thinking, I guess they call it. Okay? It's the same way like I shared the other night. If I transferred from the Browns to the Steelers, okay? I would have to renew my mind with the playbook. If I did not study the playbook, I would get right back into the game at Pittsburgh, but I would play a game that the Browns play. I wouldn't last very long. There'd be a lot of conflict there. And that's what happens to us when we accept Christ as our Savior and Lord. If we don't start renewing our mind, that conflict is there. That conflict is battling us because we want to do the old ways. The Spirit doesn't want to, but we're not sure what to do. Well, we have to renew our mind. And folks, anytime, I don't care if you've been a Christian for 30 years or 40 years, anytime you start to do something different, you want to draw closer to God, you want more time to read the Bible or prayer, there's always going to be a conflict that's going to start. You know that? It's just the way it is. And I'll close with this. I was thinking about this last night about my wife. I don't think about my wife. But in our house, some of you guys have been there, but upstairs, downstairs. The downstairs is our family room, and it's mine, okay? And my boys bought me a sign years ago that says men's room at the top of the stairs, okay? And that's where I at. My wife's upstairs. I have the backyard. She has the front yard. So I have the last say downstairs in the backyard, and she has upstairs and front yard. Now, we still listen to one another, but we have the final say. And sitting down there in my men's room, or family room, whatever room, man cave. I said, you know, I'm not one to have things change much, but I'm looking around thinking, you know, I would like to have something different down here. You know, my TV's there, here's the window over there, my reading lamp's here and stuff. And, you know, I want something different. So I tell my wife, yeah, I want something different downstairs. I just, you know, and when you come downstairs and just change it for me, just change it around for me. I just want you to do that. Of course, she loves doing them. She loves to decorate and stuff like that. Well, I come home the next day, I go downstairs. My land, look at it, a bomb went off. Man, I wanted something different. It's all tore up. I don't have a place to sit down. I got to be in the corner here, my cup of coffee, trying to drink it in the morning. She said, did you tell me you wanted things different? Yes, but listen. Look at the mess you made. She said, listen, I'm not done yet. You invited me down here to do this. Let me finish. Well, I come back in the next day and come down and say, oh, it's awesome. It's fantastic. It's new. She said, well, thank you. And you invited me downstairs and let me do what I do. And it's the same way I walk with the Lord. We invite him into our life, okay? And number one, it's going to tear some things up to get started, okay? And man, I was better off before I got born again. Man, my life was more smooth. I didn't have the bumps and stuff like that, okay? But that's just alive. We invite him in, but hang in there yet, okay? Because he's not done with it. We're not finished yet. Or even today, if you decide, you know what? At 7:30 at night, I'm going to turn off Barney Miller. And I'm going to take 7:30 to 8 o'clock as more of a time to study the Word of God. I'm going to do that. And so here comes 7:30. Everything in the world comes towards you now. The phone rings, knocks on the door. 7:30, let's say the shutter falls off your house. Your tire went flat out. And I mean, all this stuff. Man, I was better off before I started to dedicate more time. No. It's going to be kind of bumpy trying to get you out of committing to that. Trying to deter you. He wants you back in the old ways. You know what I'm saying? Okay? Hey, you might have a Bible, but he don't want you to spend more time reading it, Satan. Okay? You're going to have these things. So when you draw closer to God and you think your world is falling apart, just keep drawing closer to him. Okay? Don't give up. You invite him in. Let him do what he wants to do. I mean, if I went downstairs and tell my wife's going to do something for me, and she fixes up and starts moving, I said, don't move that. And she picks up the chair, we're going to move it. Don't move that. Person is saying, why did you even invite me in here to do this? Okay? I got to realize I want change. It's difficult. I need that change. Our life with Christ is the same way. We need that change. It's difficult. The old man's going to raise up once in a while. The old lady's going to raise up. That doesn't sound right, the old lady. But it's going to raise up, ain't it, Bob? And you'll realize, I mean, I want a different life. So we're going to go through some bumps, but we're going to go through it. And as this thing said here, as our faith increases, if you hear that word of God, man, as we're encouraged. Now, can you imagine the disciple when they see that demon come out and that, ooh, through prayer and fasting. Man, I bet they started that and they never stopped. They never, because they, wow, they want to continue with that. And we're the same way today, you know. By renewing our mind, keeping our faith in him and not giving up. Don't give up. I don't care how many times you've prayed. Continue to pray. God put in your heart to pray. Continue to pray. Come on, God, what else? What else? Draw closer and get in the scripture. Read more. Read more. Get that, because reading increases your faith. Because faith comes by hearing by the word of God. And so don't think you're insignificant. Don't think you can't do anything. You can. You're in the army of God, and he's training you. Keep drawing closer to him.